week's parsha, that the story of Yaakov's sojourn in Haran is bookended by two dreams. In the first dream, Yaakov goes to sleep, and he sees a ladder with the angels of God ascending and descending. God appears to him and promises him that he will protect him on his journeys and return him to Eretz Yisrael safely. Yaakov spends 20 years in the house of Laban, and then Ribbono Shel Olam tells him to go home. As Yaakov explains to his wives, "Bo'asel einai bo'era v'chalom, v'inei v'akudim v'olim alatzon, akudim nikudim uvrudim." He lifts up his eyes in the second dream to see the sheep going up, mounting other sheep. And then Yaakov hears the voice of an angel of God speaking with him. There is no indication that he actually sees the angel with his eyes. And the other angel tells him that he needs to return home. Ki ra'isi eis kol asher Laban osalach. For I have seen everything that Laban is doing to you. What exactly was Laban doing to Yaakov? At first glance, one might think that this refers to Laban's cheating Yaakov and constantly changing the terms of their deal from akudim to nekudim and then to birudim. But in truth, that would not make sense. If Yaakov was willing to put up with Laban's chicanery, and after all, he had still become marvelously wealthy, why did God care so much? The Torah tells us in Parshas Kisavo, in the curses, in the Tochacha, Tachas Hashem lo avata, Hashem lo avdecha, v'simcha u'betuv levav, meirov kol. The simple reading of the pasuk, as the Meshech Chachma explains, might be that because you have not worshipped God, despite being in a state of joy and mirth, which came from having everything, meirov kol. However, divrei Torah are kifatish yifotzei tzela, and there is another meaning hiding in the verse, but really in plain sight. Because you did not worship God with joy and a full heart. You worshiped God, but it was not with a sense of joy. It was at best a worship of rote. Mitzvas anashim l'umadah. And why was this the case? Because you had an abundance of everything. Meirov kol. This is one step removed, or better than vayishman yishurun vayivat vayitosh eloa asav. You worship you did, but not the simcha v'tov levav. In other words, there was no passion, no yearning, no fire for avodas Hashem, or for a relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. You did what you had to do to be part of a community, to be yotzei, but it was a passionless avodas Hashem. This is not a relationship with God like that of Shir Hashirim, nafshi yotzei avidavro. It's not a love to shukaso. Absent is umei'ai hamu alav, and there is no cholas ahava. It is one of rote, convenience, and comfort, but devoid of religious passion. Religious passion, to be sure, is a double-edged sword. Its absence leads to a tepid and perhaps even meaningless spiritual existence. But of course, it brings with it a few possible dangers. The first is burnout. We are human beings, not robots. Aside from the spiritual and moral reasons for the mitzvah of Shabbos, there is a very practical reason why the Torah commanded us to rest one day a week. Shabbos is a day for enhanced spiritual pursuit because it assumes a week full of physical pursuits for survival. Just as it is unhealthy to be continuously working, the same holds true for unmodulated passion in any area. We are supposed to be Ovdei Hashem 24/7, but not all of it can be at 60 miles an hour. The second is the danger of intolerance. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us the well-known story of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son Rabbi Elazar, who hid away in a cave for 12 years to escape the wrath of the Roman governor. They spent those years engaged in nothing but Torah and Tefillah. The intensity would have been almost unimaginable. And when these men of the cave emerged from their hiding place, the Gemara tells us that they saw people plowing and planting and harvesting and exclaimed, "Manich l'chai olam v'osim l'chai nishol?" And every place their gaze would rest would burst into flames. A heavenly voice came forth that told them, "Have you emerged to destroy my world? Go back to your cave." When they reemerged a year later, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai had calmed down. But his son Rabbi Elazar was still incredulous and burning with zeal over the people who neglected God's work and service and were busy doing their own thing, until he saw the Erev Shabbos tree, with two bunches of myrtle branches, one for Zachar and one for Shammah. Religious fervor and passion is wonderful, but it can be overdone. Finally, religious passion can also lead someone to transgress in their zeal and cross boundaries. The story of Nadab and Abihu's death is the cautionary tale of how unbounded religious passion can lead to modes of behavior that are simply outside the bounds of Avodas Hashem and with disastrous consequences. Alas, Rav Osai, if only this would be the problem that much of our tzibur faces, too much passion for Avodas Hashem. If only. There are a lot of things that you can find passion for in so many parts of our community. Let me list a few. Sports. Not only for the professional kind, but the sports leagues and high schools, PR and recruitment are any indication. Enormous passion. So much so that sometimes you would think, based upon the behavior of some yeshiva high school parents, that their children's future in professional sports is being threatened by the bad call of one of the referees. Unbelievable Islamos. Politics. One would think, listening to some Shabbos table conversations, that the Ribono Shel Olam was the head of a major political party. Of course, depending on who you're talking to, that might not be the same party. Video games and social media. And finally, of course, perhaps the most important thing, Meirov Kol. Money and things. Vacations, houses, cars, fancy restaurants frequented, you name it. But in much of our tzibur, finding genuine passion for anything in the broad gamut of the service of the Ribono Shel Olam, Torah, Avoda, or Gemilas HaSadim, can often be difficult. And I want to stress here that Talmud Torah is not and should not be seen as the end-all and be-all of Avodas Hashem. Avoda and Gemilas HaSadim encompass much broader areas of life, and pragmatically speaking, are at least of equal importance. Of course, there are a lot of individuals in our broader community who engage seriously in one or more of these pursuits, and even pockets of them. But I would question whether the tenor of most of our shuls and the way our communities run and the vibe they give off is truly one of passion for Avodas Hashem. What exists mostly is what one might term as social orthodoxy. Mostly people grew up in modern Orthodox shuls, went to modern Orthodox schools. At times, many a shul can feel like an upper-class country club. And make no mistake, modern Orthodox Jews are the second highest earning ethno-religious group in this country. And when I use the term social orthodox here, I don't mean in a way that some use it to refer to a subset of the community who don't actually believe, but practice to fit into the community, which they like being part of. No, I'm not talking about closet kosher. These people, most of the community, we absolutely claim to be believers if they were asked, but they are disengaged with any passionate personal relationship with Avodas Hashem and the Borei Olam. To borrow a wonderful locution that I heard from one of our Rabbi many years ago, one of the foremost Bali Musaf, certainly in this yeshiva, they are modern Orthodox, Dagesh Chazak on the Mount. Many aspects of modernity may inform their passions, but their orthodoxy, not so much. And if you want to understand that this is the case, just look at high school students. And think back, for most of you, when you were probably in high school, what you were like. What are there and what were your passions? How many can name, and I may date myself in this, maybe it's a different thing today, but how many can name the roster for every team in professional league X? And how many of them have a basic knowledge of Chumash and Rashi? Their extensive knowledge and memory for the former indicates that the latter should not be beyond their grasp. What is lacking is the interest, the passion, not the ability or the capacity. Unless you think that this is only true for them, I would recommend to every one of you to download one of those apps that track how you use your phone and add up the time you spend during the course of the year on your phone. And now imagine if you spent that time learning Chumash and Rashi and Tanakh and Mishnayos, think how much you would know. Or for that matter, what you could accomplish if you invested that time in any productive life endeavor. As I speak these words, I imagine that there might be one or two things, or both, going through the minds of many of you. Number one, some of you might be sitting here smugly thinking that I'm not talking about you. After all, you are a big masmid and sitting here in the basement, you're passionate about your learning and your davening. Maybe you even do NCSY and pass and regard yourself as a paragon of Torah Avodah and Gemilas HaSadim. Others of you, a bit more cautious, might be wondering why I'm talking about this in the basement. isn't this really preaching to the choir? Those of you who are familiar with the previous sikhot that I delivered in this august forum know that it is not my habit to use this opportunity for cheering. Let me assure you that if you fall into the first of these two groups, you need to worry. And if you fall into the second group, you need not worry. Because unfortunately, what I'm talking about tonight might fall under the rubric, for many of you, of the La Pesach Chatos Robeitz. As long as you are in the Beis Medrash, perhaps your passions are for Avodas Hashem. But almost all of you are going to leave these walls in a relatively short time. And when you find yourselves living in a community in which passions run high for many things, but Avodas Hashem not being one of them, it will be a lot harder than you think. It is not easy to swim against the current. Many years ago, I heard the following drush from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lanschmita. He quoted a drush from a sefer called the Yalkut Rubain that said that the Nunim Hafuchim are Ikaro Shalom. It's on Parshas Halosa. The Nunim Hafuchim, the upside their nuns, are the foundation of the world. What does this mean? So Rabbi Lam suggested that a nun in Aramaic is a fish. And a nun hafuch is a fish that swims against the stream. The challenge for most of you is that while you are in this room, it is easy to fit in and do what the people around you are doing. You go with the flow. Even perhaps unthinkingly. But it is when you leave La Pesach, it is then that you will find yourself both challenged for time and in an environment where to maintain a true passion for Avodas Hashem will require swimming upstream against the strong current. And that is when Chatos Robeitz. The Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim in Siman Kuf Nun Hei states that after davening Shacharis, one should go to the Beis Medrash and learn a little bit, be Kobeya Ace, before going out to work. And then in Siman Kuf Nun Vav, the Shulchan Aruch continues, Achar Kach Yeleich La'asaka, the Chol Torah She'enim on the Lacha Sofa B'teila V'gorer Esau. Then you have to go right to Parnassa. U'mikom Akom L'yasem Alach To'ikar, Ela Arad. One's Malacha should not be the primary thing, it should be the non-primary thing. The Torah Sof Keva, making one's Torah, and I believe here we should not read it so narrowly as to refer only to Talmud Torah, but to all of Avodas Hashem, is essential for any serious Ben or Bas Torah. Making one's Torah Keva and one's work Arai does not refer to absolute time. It is clear that in Chazal's time, no differently than today, the overwhelming majority of people spent far more time quantitatively working than engaged in spiritual pursuits. It is that which Rabbi Shimon complained about in the Gemara Brachos, that the person plows during the plowing season and plants during the planting season and harvests during the harvesting season, HaTorah Matahe Olah. But the Gemara rejects his opinion and instead accepts the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, V'yasachtadi Gonecha, Hanhei Bohem Minader Eretz. But despite the fact that one will, and perhaps one must, spend much of one's time in pursuit of a living, and hopefully with Masa Umatan Be'muna, as the Shulchan Aruch continues in the next line, and engaged in the work which might be termed as Oseki Yishuvo Shalola, one's Avodas Hashem must still be kept. And the way one determines this is by observing what a person does in the time that is not demanded by work. People will often talk about what they do for a living versus what their real passion is. For many, and perhaps for most people, those are not one and the same. And what a person chooses to do in their free time tells you whether or not they are truly passionate in their Avodas Hashem and in their connection to the Ribono Shel Olam. And so while you are here in the yeshiva, your passion may be for the same enterprise as those by whom you are surrounded, and the same may very well be true when you leave the yeshiva. But it may very well be that those enterprises, namely the ones that are there when you are here and the ones when you leave, may not be the same. And before I close, let me add one other note of caution. The passion that you bring to Avodas Hashem and its centrality or non-centrality in your life will have a profound impact upon your children. Our children learn much more from what we do than what we say. And it's true for our Talmidim as well. Telling our children that let this be a lesson to you, this is what you should not do, is not an effective form of parenting. If you want them to have a passion for Avodas Hashem and a connection to the Almighty, you need to model it in your own life. And so I return to the question with which I began. What did the angel mean when he said that I see everything that Lahan is doing to you? A person's dreams reflect their passions, desires, and aspirations. After 14 years in Beis Medrash Hashem Eder, Yaakov Avinu's dreams were of angels. But after 20 years in the house of Laban, he dreamed of sheep, and sheep begetting sheep. Sheparo lo gazar el ha-haskarim, av-alavan b'kdesh lakar esachol. Yaakov's dreams had descended from the sublime to the mundane, from the spiritual to the material, from the angelic to the animal life. In Haran, Yaakov had no reason, no need, to raise his eyes. His gaze was already directed toward the heavens. But after 20 years in the house of Laban, it was Va'asarinai. He had to raise his eyes up because his gaze had become directed downward. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai, the Malachi Asharis challenged the decision to give us the Torah. They said, "Ma'enosh kisif kirenu, uvenadam kisif kidenu, v'chasireu ma'at ne'elokim v'chavod v'hadar ta'afareinu." We as human beings and as Jews have been endowed with uniqueness, only slightly less than that of the angels. In this vein, the Gemara in Chagiga tells us that shisha dvarim nemru b'dei adam. There are six things that are said about human beings. Shlosha k'malachei asharis and shlosha k'behema. Three like the angels. We have intelligence like the angels. We walk upright like the angels. And we speak lashon hakodesh like the angels. And three like the animals. We eat and drink like the animals. We reproduce like the animals. And we defecate like the animals. The choice is ours, Rabbi Osai. And every single one of us should take a hard look in the mirror and ask ourselves who we really are and who we want to be. Do we direct the focus of our passions to the mundane, to our animal-like existence? Or do we choose to make the stuff of our dreams avodas Hashem any or all of its manifestations? We choose. Will our passions render us more like animals? Or will those passions reflect our better angels?